This is Tony Robbins. Welcome back to day number 5 of The Body You Deserve. How did you do yesterday on our 10 principles of living health? Did you apply them? I sure hope so. Some of them are so easy you can't not apply them. In fact, if you haven't done your breathing today, stop this tape right now and do your 10 deep breaths. You know the ratio, 1-4-2. Inhale 1, hold 4, exhale 2. That's the ratio at whatever numbers you can comfortably do. 10, 40, 20, whatever the case may be. In fact, even if you've done it this morning, stop the tape right now and do another breath just as a bonus breath for the day. Go for it. Did you turn me off? Or are you still listening? Come on, you can breathe. Come on, right now. Take that deep breath in. All right, I'll do one with you. This will be your second one. Maybe you did 10. That would be even better. Take that deep breath in. Come on. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Deep inhale. And exhale. Now, doesn't that feel good? There's no reason not to do the breathing, and you got to remember what this does for you, seriously. I'm teasing you and harassing you, but what you're doing here is you're not only oxygenating your blood, but you're stimulating your immune system, your lymph system, to cleanse. So these 10 breaths, 3 times a day, make sure you're doing it. Now, my next question, what'd you have for breakfast? Did you have fruit? Or did you go out and have some of those bacon and eggs? Come on, Denny's is not the place to hang out. Unless you're having fruit, of course, then it's okay. How have you done on your water content today? Have you had salads with your meals? Or is it so early that you've only had fruit? Oh, that's good. That's fine. Please make sure you're doing this for yourself. Don't just listen to this tape program. And I'm teasing you and playing with you a lot because I really want to rile you up, tease you, and get you to follow through. Listening passively to this program is not going to give you the body you deserve. People around you might get it, but you're not going to get it. You really got to apply it, and it's so simple. Think about it. Have you done aerobic exercise today? You might say, no, Tony, you haven't taught me about that. That's right. That's what we're going to do today. And remember the other elements, though. Have you really been directing your mind today, letting stuff that normally bugs you, have you reframed it for yourself and said, hey, what's great about this? How can I use this? How can I apply this in a way that gives me more control and direction over my life? Are you making sure you create some balance, maybe do some stretching in your body? Just think of all the little things you can do. You don't have to be perfect. But make a little progress every single day, and I can promise you in 10 days you're going to be a new person. Today we're going to talk about one of the most important principles of all when it comes to reducing fat, because you've got to remember, so you're not overweight, you're probably over fat. And again, that comes from something unique. And that unique thing is it's not just the ingestion of fat that causes you to be fat, i.e. there are some people that probably ingest more fat than you do and they don't look like you do. What's the difference? You go, God, they're so lucky. They have this great metabolism. You know what? You're absolutely right. They do have a great metabolism that burns fat more efficiently than yours does. Let me tell you the great news. You can train your metabolism. This thing called the BMR, you've probably heard of. It stands for the basal metabolic rate. Your BMR basically determines how efficiently you burn fat or how efficiently you store it. Now, if you're listening to this tape program right now, my assumption is you're probably more efficient at storing it than you are at burning it currently. So a lot of people say, well, the answer is simple. Cut all fat out of my diet. Wrong. What happens is the body's got to have some fat. If you cut it all out of your diet completely, your brain goes into starvation. That's what most people do when they go on a diet. We talked about this a few days ago, right? What happens? Your brain says, wait a second. I'm in a starvation mode. I got to be more efficient. So your BMR lowers. What does that mean? It means now you're more efficient at storing fat. So when you finally go back to eating, what occurs? You eat less and you still gain the weight back. That's why studies show that 95% of the people who go on a diet within 2 years weigh 5 pounds more than they did when they started dieting. See, this is a great way to train yourself through time to get fatter and fatter, even though you're working harder and harder. And this is the standard problem that most people in America trying to lose weight are facing. They've got a strategy that doesn't work. And if you remember the first day we talked, we said, hey, what does it take to succeed? Raise your standards, change your beliefs, and get the right strategy. It's not enough to value being thin and healthy. It's not enough to believe you can do it. If all you're doing is starving yourself, there's no way you're going to consistently look the way you want to look without an unbelievable amount of effort, and even then you may fail. So I've told you the problems. What are the solution? The solution is this. There is only one way I know of, and I've seen documented consistently by science, to get yourself to really stay thin, and that is to have a consistent exercise program. But I'm not speaking about just any form of exercise, because that's what most people do. They want to lose weight. What's the first thing they do? Go on a diet, which usually trains their body to store fat. So sure enough, as soon as they start eating again, they gain the weight back or worse. Or two, how do most deal with it? Go on an exercise program. But they're unconscious. They don't know the impact of what they're doing. To exercise literally means to make use of. Well, you can actively utilize your muscles, for example, and develop a great muscular build, but still have your body be filled with fat. And you're not going to feel good, and you're not going to look good. You're going to have bigger muscles with the fat protruding even further out. This happens if somebody, for example, sits down and they do 100 sit-ups, and they build up these muscles in their stomach, but you know what? They haven't gotten rid of the fat around it. So that doesn't make them look better, and it certainly doesn't make them feel better, and they're not going to lose weight. And let me tell you something else, even worse than that, what you're really training your body to do if you exercise improperly is you're training your body to be more fit and less healthy. Remember what we talked about the other day? We said if you're fit, you have the physical ability to perform some athletic activity. You have this power in your muscles. But health is defined totally differently. Health is that state where all the systems of your body, the nervous system, the muscular system, the skeletal system, the circulatory system, your digestive system, lymphatic system, hormonal, everything is working together in an optimal way. That's our ultimate goal. It's not just to lose weight, remember. We could do that real easily by doing some unhealthy things. We want to have the body you deserve, and the body you deserve is one that not only looks good, but feels good long term. So our goal is not just fitness here, it's health. Otherwise, you can go out and do all kinds of exercise and put a little muscle on you, and muscle's important, but that's not the whole game. So what we want to do is be more healthy. And this kind of exercise where you build muscle, and that's the only benefit from what you're doing, does something else. It often costs you your health. I'll give you an example of what I used to do. I used to go out, and I would like run out and do my day-to-day stuff, and all of a sudden I'd say, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want to gain weight here. I'm going to gain a couple pounds here. I got to burn that off. So I would go jump on a Stairmaster, and I'd run that thing all the way up to the top. I don't even remember what it is because I don't use it that way anymore, but whatever it is, 17, 19, whatever the top number is, push it on automatic or on manual all the way up to the top and go for 15 minutes as hard as I possibly could go. And I'll tell you what, I was intense, and I was pushing it, and I was like, no pain, no gain, willpower, whatever it takes. And I get off that thing, and about the next morning, I couldn't walk. And for some reason, I didn't want to exercise again, right? Because I linked pain to the process. What was I doing? I was exercising in what we call an anaerobic fashion. What does anaerobic mean? Anaerobic literally means to exercise without oxygen. I was pushing myself so hard in that exercise that my lungs, my cardiovascular system, my heart couldn't give me oxygen as fast as my muscles needed it. Are you following me on this? So as a result, what happens in your bloodstream is your body stops burning fat because it takes too long to break it down to get energy. And it moves to something else called glycogen, which it can immediately use for energy. The problem is, you get the energy, you push like crazy, you develop that power, but you do so at your body's peril. If you do this a lot, what begins to happen is you begin to train your biochemistry. And pretty soon, you automatically tend to burn glycogen instead of fat. And that's how most people are living. Most people live a lifestyle where they're living anaerobically. They're stressed all the time. They're moving rapidly. There's big demands. Things are happening all the time. They're pushing their heart. They're pushing their system. They're not breathing. I'm like, well, I'm talking like this. You get the idea? What happens is, as a result of this, they get really good at having that bursts of energy come from that glycogen. But boy, they store fat like crazy. I mean, their body is so efficient at storing fat, and they work out harder and harder and harder. They might even get muscular, but they still got those 5 or 10 pounds, those love handles sticking there, and they're driving themselves crazy, saying, I'm working so hard, how come I can't get this off? Because what you're doing will not burn fat. Let me tell you another challenge. When you jump on and you don't warm up and you just exercise intensely like I did, I thought, I only have a short period of time. Since I have a short period of time, I better work out as intensely as I can. When you jump on that, let's say, Stairmaster, or you go try to run, or you go try and instantly slam yourself into intense exercise, the muscles, those big muscles of your body, they need oxygen, right? So the blood that normally goes to your organs gets shunted away from the organs and goes to the muscles. Now, what does that mean? That means those organs are now getting less oxygen. When those organs get less oxygen, they get weaker. Cells begin to weaken, some mutate, some die. And all of a sudden, later on, you've got these great muscles, but all of a sudden, little things start breaking down. Well, let me tell you another problem. When you work so hard to make these huge demands on your body in short bursts like this, and you do it continuously, pretty soon you run out of glycogen. You know what your body does? It goes to blood sugar as its source. It doesn't go to fat because it needs something that can immediately give it energy to keep going. Are you following me on this, I hope? The bottom line, then, is blood sugar, 2/3 of your blood sugar is how your whole nervous system operates. when people exercise in this way, who are so good intentioned, not only do they not lose weight, but oftentimes they injure themselves. And they don't know why. They think, well, my muscle's not strong enough. Let me build that muscle up. No, it's not that your muscles aren't strong enough. It's that the way you're training your biochemistry, your body is not getting what it needs to function, and your nervous system's not working properly. Let me tell you something. A lot of these people that work out, you'll find them, they end up having excess fatigue. They work out, and then they're really tired. And you may have experienced this at one time and thought, well, why work out? I'm so darn tired. Because you weren't working out properly. You had the wrong strategy. Right values, right beliefs, wrong strategy. Or another example is you get low blood sugar patterns. Your moods jump up and down. You start feeling depressed or you feel anxiety and don't even know why. Another example of anaerobic is you got circulatory problems. Here you are exercising and the circulation isn't great. You get really cold real easily, for example. Now you might say, but Tony, I'm not exercising and I feel cold. That's still a circulatory problem and exercise can change it. The proper kind of exercise. I got to tell you, there's studies done on PMS where women who exercise anaerobically or live anaerobically. You know what I'm saying? Again, they're all stressed and they're burning sugar constantly. One of the reasons they have PMS is because they don't have that balance. So we want to exercise aerobically. It's not just PMS, it's stress. It's not just ladies that have this challenge. Gentlemen do as well. A lot of people's exercise program stresses them out. Not just like thinking about doing it, but the program itself is training their metabolism to be stressed out all the time because they're not breathing. Hey, listen. When most people are stressed about something, they're fearful, what's the first thing they do? They stop breathing. They hold their breath. Do you think that adds to the stress just a little bit? Of course it does. So when you're exercising in a way that's constantly causing you to go into an oxygen deficit, where you're constantly going to glycogen, you're speeding your system up all the time, you're going to be stressed. And all of a sudden, instead of your exercise enhancing the quality of your life, it may actually lower the quality of your life. So you got to remember what you're doing it for. If you don't exercise enough, obviously, you're not going to benefit. If you exercise too much, you're going to be anaerobic and create more problems. You want that balance in between. That balance is called aerobic exercise. What is aerobic exercise? Aerobic literally means with oxygen. Now, what would it take for you to exercise with oxygen? It would require that you make a certain amount of demand on your body that was strong enough and significant enough that would get your heartbeat to be 70% of your maximum heart rate. Not your maximum rate where you're jumping on that thing, going as hard as you can. You feel like your head's going to burst and you're going to cough up blood and you're so proud because after all, look at you. You worked out hard. No, no, no. I'm talking about exercise for a longer duration of time with less effort, but a significant enough amount that your oxygen, in other words, the circulatory system, your heart, your lungs are being taxed. Now, how do we know how much that is? Well, one of the most important ways, obviously, is by taking one's pulse. Because your pulse can tell you. And the standard rule, which you'll see in your workbook, and we won't jam it into you right now, but I'll plant the seed in your head, is you take the number 220 minus your age would tell you your maximum. Okay? 220 minus your age. So a 30-year-old would be, their maximum heart rate would be 190, for example. Now, if you go out and work out at your maximum heart rate, what are you doing? You are putting yourself in jeopardy. You are pushing yourself and saying, look how proud I am. I can demand this from myself, but what you're trying to do is teach yourself to be fit, but you're probably being unhealthy. You're shunting blood from organs. You're not burning fat, and that's probably not what you're doing in the first place, or you probably never would have gotten in this position and probably listening to this program on weight loss in particular. You probably would have got the Living Health program on fitness and health. The point of the matter is, it's 190 for this person. This person would want to exercise for a period of time I'm going to describe at approximately 65 to 85% of their maximum rate. So let's use 75 as a simple number. What's 75% of 190? 75% of 190 is about 142. So this person would be exercising around 140, 145. Right in that range would be their exercise mode. First thing I'd encourage you to do is after you get that juicer, go get a heart monitor. And what that is a little device that you strap around your chest. It's very simple. It's plastic and has a little transmitter on it. And you wear a watch. And that watch will not only show you how long you've been running, but it'll also show you your heart rate. It's the most accurate thing I know of to monitor through time. And it even has little bells and whistles on it so you can program it that if you go above your heart rate, that immediately it starts making noise. And by the way, we market these or you can get these in almost any fitness store. The beauty of this is what you're going to be surprised by is if you go exercise at, say, 75% of your heart rate, and you're not going to start there, but you do get to that point, you're going to find out that exercise at that rate of intensity is very, very easy to do. It's nothing like the exercise you used to do. In fact, your tendency is going to be want to do something more intense, or you're going to think, I'm not benefiting from this, and you're wrong. And many people who are out of shape can get to their maximum heart rate by a brisk walk, literally. And if they try to run, they're doing themselves damage. That is not going to help you to lose weight. So I don't want you to go out there and jam yourself by like trying to run or slam yourself around, and then all of a sudden you hurt and you're injured and you don't feel good. And you're not going to do that for the rest of your life. You and I got to be intelligent. We got to have a plan that makes sense. And we got to have something that's fun to do. So my goal is to get you to exercise for a longer period of time, but in a totally enjoyable way. So instead of going on there for 15 minutes as hard as you possibly can, almost killing yourself, you might exercise for a total of 40 minutes. But of that time, the first 12 minutes might be just walking, letting your body just warm up. And the last 12 minutes will probably be walking, letting it cool down. So you're only going to really exercise at your 75% rate, let's say, for 20 to 40 minutes maximum. The rest is going to be warm up and warm down. Now, this sounds kind of technical right now, so stick with me because it's how you're going to burn fat. It's how you're going to train your body to burn fat even when you're not exercising. That's the goal of this. This kind of training will teach your body what to do with fat in the future. And that's what you're really looking for, that long-term ability to have a metabolism that's a fat-burning metabolism. Before I explain to you how to do this in a little more detail, let me first stimulate you with a sense of possibility of what you could do with your body. I'm not suggesting this is what you do personally. But remember I mentioned to you a few days ago about my friend Stu Middleman? He's the guy who ran the 1,000 miles in 11 days. Just imagine for a second again, not only running 84 miles a day, but running for 21 straight hours every day for 11 straight days, sleeping only 3 hours a night, and being stronger on the 11th day than you were on the first day. That's what this man trained his body to do. Now, he did this by doing only one thing, training aerobically. In fact, what Stu did the first day, people went out and tried to run in this race with him. It's the 1,000-mile race, which nobody else, by the way, completed. He's the only person who completed it. He not only won it, but he's the only one to complete it. They all went out and ran at a pretty decent pace. He ran, I don't know how many miles, quite honestly. I've forgotten the exact amount, but it was significantly lower than anybody else. It was like maybe he ran for a period of 6 or 7 hours, whereas they ran for, like, say, 12. What he then did is went and went to sleep. He was gradually training his body, his biochemistry, to adjust. He ran very slowly by most people's standards. And the next day he ran slowly. And gradually, through time, he began to train his body to say, hey, I've got to be able to burn fat because fat will give me endurance. Fat will allow me to burn for a longer period of time at a more steady pace. Whereas if I run like crazy, I'm going to run out of glycogen. I'm going to run out of blood sugar, and I'm going to break down like the rest of these people. That's how he's able to accomplish this task. But the neat thing is, when he was done, he'd go out and eat the things he wanted to eat, and pretty soon he discovered something. His body started burning fat much more efficiently because he totally changed his metabolism. So he taught me to use a simple system that he's used to train thousands of people across the United States to burn fat, to exercise aerobically. First of all, think of it philosophically. You want to work out for at a lower intensity for a longer period of time. Not a short period of time, real intense, long duration, lower intensity. You might say to me, well, how do I know what the intensity is? Again, you do this by monitoring your heart. Now, again, you might say, well, Tony, I want to go do this right now, and there's no sporting goods store nearby, and I don't have a heart monitor. How can I do this? Well, you obviously can take your pulse. But I can give you something even easier. The minute you begin to hear your breath really huffing and puffing, where your breath becomes audible, or as you're moving, whatever the exercise is, you cannot keep a conversation going, you've probably just broken through your aerobic threshold and are starting to get anaerobic. It's a great way to do it. So like if I'm jogging, for example, my jog is very, very light, and I can have somebody next to me and I can conduct business or conversation, whatever the case may be. If I find that I'm getting to the point where it's hard to keep the conversation going, I'm like that, I know that I need to just slow just a little bit. Okay, but again, the ideal situation is still a heart monitor. What exact number to use? I whipped through this 220 times 75%, and that may seem complex. Here's what I learned from Stu Middleman. He said after doing all these blood tests on people to find the exact level in which they burn fat, that it almost invariably comes down to an even more simple formula, 180 minus your age. That's the basic element. So, for example, in my case, when I first met Stu, I was 30 years old. So 180 minus my age was 150. So immediately I knew that my range of exercise while I was working out, my primary training phase was going to be at around 150. And by the way, you take that number and you move down 10. So it can be anywhere from 140 to 150 while you're training. You follow me on that? 10 points below whatever that number is. 180 minus your age will give you the peak that you should exercise at to stay aerobic. And you can go anywhere between 10 points below that and you're still in that training phase where you're training your heart and your lungs to be most efficient. You're training your cardiovascular, so you're going to have endurance, you're going to have energy, and your body is learning to consistently burn fat. That's our goal. Now, can you just go run out right now and let's say jump on a bicycle or jump in a swimming pool or start sprinting and get yourself up there? First of all, if you're sprinting, you're going to go above this number. If you sprint for any period of time, you're going to zip above these numbers. Second of all, you don't ever want to start out by going to your training phase. You've got to have a warm-up. So think in terms of your exercise in three phases from now on. The warm-up phase, the training phase, and the warm-down phase. Well, you may think of it as the cool-down phase. The bottom line is the purpose of the warm-up phase is exactly what I told you earlier. You don't want to do what I used to do on that Stairmaster. You don't want to jump out there, even go to 70% or 75% or whatever your number is. You don't want to zip to that number right away. You want to gradually teach your body, hey, we're going to start exercising here. You want to increase your heart rate gradually and your blood flow to all the organs in your body so that you're really going to be healthy while you're exercising. The minimum warm-up you want to use is a 12-minute warm-up. So that warm-up might be something as simple as just walking at a decent pace and looking to make sure you stay below your training phase. In other words, for me, for example, I'm now 32 years old. So 180 minus 32, what do you got there? I'm at 148. So what does that mean? Well, it means I can train anywhere from 138 to 148 and be in my training zone. Do I want to start there? Absolutely not. I want to be below that. So when I start out, I might be at, 70, 80 beats, and I'll start walking a little bit more rapidly, push myself so I get around 100 beats a minute. And I'll gradually maybe get to 114. By the time I get to 12, 13, 14 minutes, that's when I'll start training myself. And at that point, I'll start to do the exercise and monitor myself to get myself in that range of 138 to 148. Now, by the way, I'll give you a little formula here. That 180 minus your age, here are a couple other distinctions you might want to add. If you've had a major illness or you've never really exercised, you're major overweight right now, remember I said it's 180 minus your age? I'd say it's 180 minus your age minus 5 more points. So if you were 40 years old, 180 minus your age is what? 140. And let's say you're really out of shape or you've had a major illness, you wouldn't even be at 140. You'd be at 135. You go between 125, 10 points below, and 135 would be your training phase. Would you start out there? No, no, no. You build to that in the first 12 minutes. At the 12 to 15 minute mark, what do? You kick it in and you start to do your exercise at your training rate and you don't go above it. You follow me on that? Now, if you really are pretty fit and you've been exercising pretty consistently, but maybe you just haven't lost the fat you wanted, you might want to add 5. So in this case, if you were 40 years old, you go 180 minus the 40. What do you got? 140 plus 5. Now your training phase is from 135 to 145. So that's an extra distinction on calculating your rate. 180 minus your age, if you're really out of shape and unhealthy, subtract 5. If you're extremely healthy, add 5. And remember that 10-point spread. First phase of the workout, warm up. You're going to gradually move up to this phase for the first 12 to 15 minutes. Then you're going to work out. You're going to train yourself at this heart rate doing some kind of exercise that requires this kind of movement. Makes your heart go at this rate, and I'll give you several examples, from anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes. Starting out, you want to start at 20. You don't want to just go out and hit your head against the wall and say, I'm going to try to do all this in one day. Remember, this is a long-term plan. So maybe you're going to do it for 20 minutes, a maximum of 40, and then again, another 12 to 15-minute warm down, where you're gradually maybe walking again, letting your heart gradually slow back down. You don't want to go from really cranking to an immediate stop. And let me tell you the reason you're doing that. If you exercise really hard and then you instantly stop, the blood tends to pool in certain muscles and areas of the body. So you want to make sure your circulation is really great. Your body has the ability to warm down gradually. That allows you to be healthy instead of just fit. So those are the three phases. Now you might say, okay, I can figure this out. I can pull out my notebook, Tony, and I can figure out 180 minus my age, and I can figure out what that is for me, and I know that's the rate. I'm willing to go get my heart monitor, or I'm willing to monitor my pulse, or I'm willing to at least monitor my breath and see that I'm not going too fast, but what the heck do I do? Good question. So let's answer 4 quick questions, and let's get you out exercising as soon as we're done with this tape. And those 4 questions are these. The first one is, what type of exercise do you want to do? What kind of movements are being done? Are you walking, cycling, playing racquetball? Where does it fit in? Secondly, what's the frequency of your exercise? That is, how often are you actually going to do it? Are you going to do it 3 times a week, 5 times a week, 7 times a week? What's the intensity of the exercise is the third question. How fast do you want to move? How slow? How moderate? Or how vigorous? And then fourthly, what's the duration of the exercise? How long should you do it? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 40 minutes? What's the scoop?